This is Jennifer Pepito with the Restoration Home Podcast. This is the show where we talk about the peaceful path to connected families and restored communities. Today, I'm so excited to be chatting with Emily, my daughter, my beautiful daughter, about rhythms of prayer. So in the Restoration Home community this month, we are working on habits of prayer. And habits of prayer is the fourth chapter in my new book, Habits for a Sacred Home. It's available right now for pre-order. It'll be shipping May 7th. So you want to get your pre-order in. And you can go to habitsforasacredhome.com for some amazing pre-order bonuses. We have this beautiful Habits for a Sacred Home poetry pack, which has some favorite prayers, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, Psalm 100, in a pretty tight face that you could put on your wall or put on your school bulletin board. We also have access, free access, to the Peaceful Life Workshop. It's one of my mini workshops on creating family habits and creating a better rhythm, kind of identifying problem areas in your home. So if you are looking for more peace and calm, if you want to create habits for a sacred home, go to habitsforasacredhome.com, pre-order my book, put your order number in, and you'll get all these goodies delivered to you, to your inbox. So Emily, today, chatting about the habit of prayer. And one of my happiest, oh my gosh, I loved our, like, I'm still homeschooling, but it's a little different because my kids are taking math classes on site. We're not having morning time this year. For the first time in 26 years, I don't get to have morning time with my kids. And that's a real sad transition because for 26 years, I gathered my children and we read poetry or we prayed together or we sang hymns or we sang praise songs. We read books. It was some of the most happy, beautiful times in my life. Emily, do you have any happy memories from morning time aside from the annoyance of my inconsistent start times?
I really appreciated the consistency that morning times offered in terms of the overall structure of sort of our life, where it could be counted on that we'd have these times of prayer. And I especially loved like the reading aloud that would happen in that time. And I think it's just important, whether or not your children are loving morning time, to sort of embrace the consistency of training and conditioning ourselves and our families to start the day by bringing in God into the midst of it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's interesting because we just had a speaker at a church talking about faithfulness and obedience and how important it is that we keep our hearts open to the will of God for our lives. And he was just emphasizing how, you know, it can be easy in a culture where we value dreams and callings and God speaking to us personally. It can be easy to sort of underemphasize the importance of saying yes to God. And I think one of the things that morning time and kind of family or corporate prayer sort of teaches is the ability to say yes to somebody's will besides your own. Because when you gather your children, sometimes they're not going to be super into it. Sometimes, like, you know, even now with my last two teens, we will listen to Nikki Gumbel's Bible in 1 Year app together, or we will say the Lord's Prayer together, or we will do some kind of group Bible time. And sometimes they're not that excited about it. Sometimes they have their own things they'd rather be doing, but there's still not only the consistency or the training of making it a spiritual discipline to pray as a family, but also the training or spiritual discipline of being able to say yes to God, even when you don't feel like it.
Totally. And I think underlying all of the Benedictine principles that we're talking about and prayer and all of this is the ability to subject our will to somebody else's within a godly context, obviously, but especially growing up, morning time did come to a point where there was some feet dragging and some sense of, well, I've already done my individual prayer time and I'm halfway through my morning schedule and now I have to join for like the family morning schedule. And there was definitely times when my willingness to participate was fairly low. But I think that something we kind of going back to what you were saying just now, Mom, that we have lost a lot of in Western Christianity is that we are the body of Christ. We are called to a corporate Christian, a corporate faith, not a corporate religion, but a corporate faith in the sense that we're not ever meant to live out our faith or our discipline as individuals or alone. And so morning time and times of prayer together, whether or not it's always welcome, is such a necessary part of actually the body, being the body of Christ and what we're called to.
Yeah, I love that, Emily. And I know you and I have talked a lot, like we are from a really small town and there's not necessarily amazing churches in this small town. And to some degree, being a part of a body in that small town is a little bit of a personal sacrifice because you can go online and listen to a better sermon. You can go online and get better worship. There's other things you can do to connect with God. And like you personally are really good at connecting with God on your own. Like I can feel close to God as much by reading a psalm and sitting by a creek as if I go and join with other people to worship. And sometimes joining with other people to worship can be almost like a downer. You know what I mean? It can be exhausting. And yet there's an element of gathering ourselves together that God says, don't neglect. And so I think, you know, as families, especially people who are in the little years, it can be really tempting to just opt out altogether. And yet part of church isn't just what you can get from it, but it's part of being a part of corporate prayer. It's part of like joining your prayers with other believers for the good of the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that it's just so important. And I think on the practical side, for moms who are struggling with morning time, or if you're trying to implement morning time and you have teenagers who either are not used to that rhythm or they're just starting to hit that age of independence, which I think is a part of hitting your teenage years as well, I would really encourage moms to create a, especially looking back at my experience and what I would have loved out of sort of that corporate morning time, is having it be a consistent time, and then also making sure that it's a really set thing of like, you know, 5, 10, 20 minutes of, we're going to read the scripture, we're going to sing the doxology or whatever, you know, we're going to sing a worship song, whatever it is. And then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And then I'm going to bless each one of you and I'm going to release the older children. And I think every child is different, but I think most children do crave this, is some sense of consistency. And so as much as possible, even if it's a 5-minute time frame for your morning corporate prayer, being able to have that structure, because we're talking about submitting to authority, but the other side of authority is you have to be, like I think in your last podcast, you talked about being the mother abbess, basically, of your home, which is beautiful, but we can't then take that lightly. And so if you're being the mother abbess, you actually have care of these people and you have to then do the discipline to create the structure and be consistent and be a good leader in times of prayer and in work and in all of these things. And it's, you know, we try, I think on this podcast, we try a lot to be gentle with mothers and be really understanding of how hard it is and all of that. But the truth is that you have a leadership position and it's a big responsibility and you need to do it well.
I know part of what you're referring to is like me saying, okay, Bible time in 5 minutes, 5 minutes till Bible time, and then getting a phone call or having something else happen. And meanwhile, you as a oldest child, super self-governing, very driven, you're like, I have my day, I have my own things going on. And I can see, you know, how that can be so frustrating. So I love your emphasis on, you know, be consistent. Do it, but just do it consistently and don't be don't be so wishy-washy about timing. Like the Benedictines, you know, a lot of habits for a sacred home is based on the rule of Saint Benedict. And they had set times like 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m. They had set times in the day that were a call to prayer. And so maybe even setting a timer on your phone and then just dropping everything so that all of you essentially are accountable to the authority of your clock, in a sense. And I think, you know, one of the things too that's, I think a lot of families wonder about is if you're listening with small children, well, do small children get involved? How involved are small children in prayer and worship? And I think, you know, from pretty early on, we would have kids pray oldest to youngest and have them just say something, even just, "Dear God, I love you." And, you know, I just saw somebody post even about taking kids to church. Like, I feel like if you don't give your children, your young children, the respect of you are a person who has the ability to connect to God, you are a person with a soul. And so you have the respect of being a part of our family worship. I think it's harder for kids if they've been just entertained spiritually throughout their childhood, throughout their teen years. It's going to be hard for them to actually transition into being an earnest seeking believer. Whereas if from early on, all your children are called to prayer, or, you know, you use a resource like the Good Gospel, where it honors children with the beautiful stories of the gospel and beautiful scripture memory songs and art to look at. If you honor them with the acknowledgement that you are a person who can connect to God and who wants to connect to God, I think that they are going to be more likely to continue connecting to God as they move into their adult years.
I would 100% agree with that. And I think another thing I want to say is that your child's resistance to prayer or morning time, even at a young age, they're like, "Oh, I don't really want to pray." Or, you know, just children can have, as children, we can become kind of, we can get these bees in our bonnets without any real rhyme or reason. And I think being really gentle and persistent and not letting a child's emotional moods sort of derail or dictate your morning time, but then also being structured in it, where if you do a youngest to oldest prayer time and all of a sudden your five-year-old's like, "I'm not praying today," which can happen, you know, with any age, and then being either and choosing ahead of time what your strategy is going to be. Is your strategy going to be "that's all right" and you move on? Or is your strategy going to be "all right, repeat after me, dear Jesus, you know, dear Father in heaven, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Bless this day. I love you. Amen." Like, are you going to force a basic form prayer, or are you going to let the child, are you going to dismiss and move on? And kind of having, again, some of these structures in place so that you are able to create and maintain some rhythm within your morning time. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that morning time is not the only time that you can have a set time of prayer. And so I think we often pray before meals, and then morning time prayer, evening prayers is sort of the standard Christian trope. But what if you made it a point of every time you get in the car with your kids, which, I mean, hello, captive audience right there, you made it a point of like, this is the time where we're going to pray for the first 2 minutes of the drive. We're going to thank God for the day. Like, this is our Thanksgiving prayer time, or, you know, whatever it is, whether you already kind of have this moment of everyone's in one place and setting that rhythm of this is a time of prayer. Because that's the other thing about prayer, is that it should be something that is common to us as breathing. It should be this constant communion. But one of the ways that we can model that is by having more sort of anchor points for prayer across our day. So mealtimes is great. Everyone's together. Getting in the car, again, it's a great time. Everyone's together.
Yeah, I love that so much. And, you know, I think that moms do need to not beat themselves up if they're not getting up before their children and having prayer time. Like, it can be overwhelming to think, "Oh my gosh, I'm trying to get up and have quiet time, and my kids keep getting up earlier and earlier." And I love this quote from The Domestic Monastery by Ronald Rollheiser. He says, "I'm bolstered by the testimony of contemplatives themselves Carlo Corretto, one of the 20th century's best spiritual writers, spent years in the Sahara Desert by himself praying. But he once confessed that he felt his mother, who spent nearly 30 years raising children, was much more contemplative than he was and less selfish. And he said, if you're home with small children whose needs give you little uninterrupted time, then you don't need an hour of private prayer daily. Raising small children, if it is done with love and generosity, will do for you exactly what private prayer does. And so I think that, you know, is just so encouraging that what we're doing, like there was a lot of prayers that I prayed at the kitchen sink. Like, you know, I did a lot of putting scripture verses on my walls so that I could remember, you know, what was true, like take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, or the Lord is my refuge and ever present help in trouble. Like reciting scripture to myself was part of the way that I prayed in those intense years of mothering, where maybe I didn't always know what to say. I didn't always feel the presence of God in a great way, but I was desperate. And so those scripture prayers were such a help. And in more recent years, I've also connected with some really beautiful scriptural affirmations, because I spent a lot of years really believing a lot of lies about myself, about God. And so I let lies like, oh, you don't have what it takes, or God doesn't love you, or God doesn't care about you. I let things like that get in my head. And if instead, you know, as part of my daily prayer rhythm, I had been reciting affirmations like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And, you know, there's a beautiful one we'll actually link in profile. I'm alive in Christ. And the Bible says, even though we are dead through trespasses, we are made alive together with Jesus. I am his workmanship. Says that in Ephesians 2:10. I am free. It says that in Romans 8:2. I am not condemned. I have the mind of Christ. I'm an overcomer. Like these are all scripture verses. And when we start meditating on the word of God and start, you know, filling our mind with that, then we're going to be a lot less likely to listen to lies that say, oh, you can't do this. You don't know what you're doing. You're such a bad mom. Like those things want to speak to us, but they are not the truth. They're not the truth of God's word. They're not the truth of scripture. And so I think we really need to be renewing our minds. That's what the Bible says. Renew your minds, take your thoughts captive. And partly we do this by just speaking scripture over ourselves in the fringe times.
That's beautiful. And I think the quote by Ronald Rollheiser about the 20th century spiritual writer who spent the time in the Sahara, and that is just an incredible, I think, testimony to mothers, and just a beautiful reminder that your life is a prayer, especially when you are embracing it wholeheartedly as an act of both service and sacrifice in sort of like the most unconditional form of love that we probably will ever see this side of eternity. And I think it's just it should be such an incredible inspiration, and also a sense of hope too, that you, in your really busy and probably more of a frenetic season, especially if you're doing young kids, that you're not forgotten, in the sense that you're not invisible to God just because you're not having these long, prolonged prayer times. And the other thing I wanted to say on the practical side is, if you are really struggling with a lot of fear, a really practical way to deal with sort of scattered thoughts that might be making it hard to join in prayer is to just, we've talked a lot about like the I give you everyone and everything, but actually taking a minute, it could be 2 minutes, and just sitting down and writing down, I give you everyone. And then I give you everyone. And then I do a colon, and I do a list of the people I'm handing over to God, and then everything, and just like the top five things that are kind of weighing on my mind. And I actually find that I'm able to sort of center in a little bit more and be less distracted in my mind, and really have this sort of sense of communing with God when I write down some of these prayers. And so finding time to do that, or just, you know, a moment to do that, can be helpful in sort of taking some of your thoughts captive, or or kind of identifying maybe what lies are coming at you or what fears are coming at you that might be fragmenting your mind and making it hard to connect in prayer.
Yeah, I love that. And I think one of the beauties of, you know, gathering your children, because one of our habits in Restoration Home for this month is a morning prayer and psalm. So just simply gathering your children and reading a psalm together and praying quickly together. And, you know, one of the beauties of this kind of a group prayer habit is it gives you a lot better handle on how everybody's doing. Like, it gives you a chance to give your children eye contact. It gives you a chance to see if people are feeling happy or feeling irritated. It gives you a chance to see if they're loving each other. Because I know, you know, in the summer, it would be kind of, we would often stop morning time here and there when we were doing family projects. And then you kind of didn't have the same opportunity to connect with each other. Whereas when you kept, you know, when morning time was happening, we had this really sweet ability to check in and see how people were doing. And I just love that I had so much time with my children, so much time sitting by the creek and reading out loud or gathering in the living room or, you know, field trips, so many precious times with all of you. And I'm so grateful that you guys were willing to submit yourselves to my leadership, even though it was faulty at times, so we could grow together. And I know that that's part of what makes you all such great adults, is that you guys are willing to learn from other people. You don't think you know everything.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I just loved being your kid.
Well, I think that you're going to love Habits for a Sacred Home, mamas. You can pick it up at the website habitsforasacredhome.com. This month, we've been talking about the habit of prayer. Next week, we're going to have Felicia Masonheimer on talking with us about the habit of prayer. And each month in this podcast, we're featuring a different rule of life from the rule of Saint Benedict and talking about how we can apply it in our lives as women, as mothers, for the glory of God, so we can have connected families and restored communities.